This malware can track your location, Messenger will soon be encrypted by default, and a financial firm is hit with SIM swapping. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for August 29th, 2023. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Let's go ahead and jump right into the news this week. Remember the notorious Smokeloader botnet? Well, the group who used Smokeloader is now using a new malware called Wifi Recon, which triangulates the location of infected devices using Wi-Fi scanning and Google's geolocation API. Now, Google's geolocation API is exactly how it sounds. It takes Wi-Fi access point info and serves up coordinates, helping apps, or in this case, attackers, pinpoint devices without GPS systems. So Smokeloader is known for its modular use cases and for being a malware dropper that's been known for a while now. Its purpose is to drop additional payloads, and it's been available for sale since 2014. But now it can be deployed with Wifi Recon as one of its payloads. Smokeloader usually gets distributed via phishing emails. So here's how it goes down when a target gets infected. Wifi Recon first checks if your Windows system has a service called WLAN SVC or WLAN service. If it's not there, it gives up and registers with the command and control server. But if that service exists, it goes on a Wi-Fi scanning spree using the Windows WLAN API to gather data. And then it sends HTTPS POST requests to Google's geolocation API with Wi-Fi access point info in JSON format. In return, they get latitude and longitude coordinates. Now, with Google's response in hand, the malware crafts a detailed report about access points, including their position, encryption method, and SSID. This information goes straight to the threat actor's command and control center. Now, this process happens every 60 seconds, so they could track a victim in almost real time. Researchers at SecureWorks uncovered this malware on August 8th, and they speculate that hackers could use your location to intimidate you, or it could allow for attackers to focus on specific regions or urban areas for attacks. Now, the version number 1 used in the initial POST request to the C2 server could indicate that this malware is still in the development stage. Who knows what other capabilities they might add down the line. Now, before I start on this story, I realize that most of my audience on this channel has sworn off anything that has to do with Facebook and Meta, including Messenger. But since this application is used very widely outside the InfoSec genre and community, this story is for those folks, okay? Okay. Meta, the company behind Facebook Messenger, is adding more privacy to the application. By the end of this year, they are aiming to roll out default end-to-end encryption for one-on-one friends and family chats on Messenger. So starting from August 22nd, 2023, this year, they are upgrading millions more people's chats to be end-to-end encrypted. This move is a part of Mark Zuckerberg's vision for a, quote, privacy-focused social networking that he announced back in 2019. Now, it hasn't been a smooth ride for Meta, a company that we all know has never been a shining beacon in the world of security and privacy. According to Meta, this privacy makeover faced some technical hurdles, pushing their plans back by about a year. Messenger and Instagram DMs originally depended on servers to process messages, but adding that encryption layer means that they could no longer be the case, and Meta still had to make sure that those messages still reach their destination on time. So they set up a new system with hardware security modules, or HSM, to keep that end-to-end encryption intact. And they also added a PIN to let you access your message history securely. They rebuilt over 100 features in Messenger in order to allow for features to work as expected by users, even while end-to-end encryption is enabled. An example is sharing a YouTube link and seeing a preview thumbnail of that video. Previously, the server would just retrieve that information, but now the application fetches that info from the YouTube service, generates the preview, encrypts it, and sends it to the recipient. Now, this is intended to add protection against unwanted leaks and spying. And while law enforcement agencies might be concerned about encrypted messages hindering their investigations, end-to-end encryption is a crucial shield against breaches of personal privacy. Now, since many of us have embraced the hard life of trying to get friends and family to enable encryption on their own application of choice, automatically deploying end-to-end encryption as a default is a huge plus. Biggest of shout outs to my Patreon supporters, especially my golden s'mores and their fur babies, for making this show possible since we don't have ads on this show at all other than talking about Patreon. You can become a part of the s'mores and join the folks over at patreon.com/ShannonMorse. That page will give you early access to these videos, a private Discord group, a monthly live streamed Q&A session, and more. If you are currently a patron on the ThreatWire page, make sure to switch over to the new one so you don't lose access to any of your perks. Let's go ahead and finish out today's episode with my last top story, all about SIM swapping. A data breach involving financial and risk advisory powerhouse called Kroll appears to have happened due to a SIM swapping attack. Now, reports are flooding in about this data breach from several of their partners. Kroll's been handling claims for companies like FTS, BlockFi, and Genesis Global Holdco. They've confirmed that one of their own employees was hit by a SIM swapping attack. The hackers were able to obtain the Kroll employee's phone number and use it to infiltrate files with personal data of bankruptcy claimants. Now, FTX and BlockFi have come out saying, hey, our systems are good, no passwords or client funds were messed with directly, and Kroll has responded to the data breach quickly by containing and remediating the breach. According to Kroll's statement, on August 19th, a threat actor targeted a T-Mobile account owned by a Kroll employee. The attacker was able to SIM swap the phone number of the employee, and they got access to personal info about claimants tied to BlockFi, FTS, and Genesis. After this breach news dropped, folks connected to those crypto firms started sharing suspicious phishing emails that they had received. Impersonating FTX, these emails tell recipients that they can now withdraw digital assets. These messages aim to nab cryptocurrency wallet seeds and drain them. Further reports explain that the attacker was able to bypass MFA via this SIM swapping attack, and they gained access to an online portal for Kroll, which included data like full names, physical addresses, email addresses, and debtor claim details. Now, while this was a targeted attack, it shows us that SIM swapping is still relevant. If you have the option, move away from SMS-based two-factor authentication. Opt for methods that can't be bypassed via SIM swapping. Hey, I'm Shannon Morse. Stay vigilant, stay secure, and I will see you on the internet.